Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
7:15 now. That song means it's that time of week. Joe and Cindy Farini with their My Marriage Matters segment. Been on WCRF doing that for years and years and years. So grateful for their ministry. This week, the question basically is, someone wrote to them and said, my husband has been unfaithful, and I'm having a hard time trusting him again, even after going through some counseling. And thank you, Joe and Cindy Farini, for coming back to help us with this one.
Well, you're welcome. Good morning.
So we'll start with Dad. Okay, so I'm wondering, have you had this type of question before? And if so, how did you help the couple get through this rough patch?
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've heard that scenario so many times. And interestingly, every time someone opens up to me and begins to share this kind of a story with me, one of the lines they always come up with is, I'm sure you never heard anything like this before, but the reality is sadly that the only thing that changes are the names and the faces. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are patterns that people will go through on their way to having an affair. Sounds like a promiscuous affair like this one is. But there are also recommended steps that people can take to work through that process. And as Cindy and I were talking through this process, this question here, we thought this is just way too important of a question to just kind of do one segment on. Mm-hmm. So what we thought we would do is break this into two parts.
Okay.
That's all right with you.
Sure.
And so what I'll do here is just kind of give a general understanding as to how they got into this situation to begin with. And first I would just say I would commend the wife and the husband for working at the marriage by getting the counseling that they need. But my suggestion is don't stop mm-hmm. with the counseling. Keep going with this thing. And also find some really good supporting friends and family that will help you restore this relationship. It's an incredible observation to make when we see folks that are engaged in difficult relationship issues, and then they find out who their true friends are, because it starts sounding like crickets out there. I mean, everybody kind of scatters when something like this happens, but that's the time when true friends need to gather around you. But her comment where she says, I still lack trust, also tells me that their resolution of the affair left something really to be desired. And so there are still some major issues left unresolved between the two of them. And likely what happens is that there's still probably some buried hostility toward the husband, which is causing this lack of trust. So do you have any thoughts on that? Want to add to that?
Well, go ahead.
I'll keep going. But, you know, we need to keep in mind that reconciliation is a process. And most likely there will still be some very difficult days ahead for this couple. But they need to also keep in mind that they are in a process of recovery. And so the complete restoration of trust is not going to happen overnight. They're going to have to continue working at this entire recovery process. And if they'll do that, though, our observation and over the years has been that this relationship can be even stronger than it ever was before. But keep in mind that trauma always changes people, and it should. But you need to also be willing to wade into some deep waters. And if you don't go there, you're not going to get healthy. But you know, the confidence that we have is that God will help us to put these broken pieces of a broken relationship back together again, if you both will allow him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what we see happening here, Kathleen, is that, you know, as you begin to fully engage in this reconciliation process, it's going to start feeling like two steps forward and one step back. That's normal. But you have to just keep pressing on. You know, those feelings of trust can be restored. It's going to happen. It can happen with God's help and good counseling and family and friend support.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that choosing to forgive someone for an offense is just the start of the reconciliation process. The trust has to be restored back into that relationship. That's what's going to take some time. And so it's, you know, if you're going to put this into a formula form, which I love doing, I mean, reconciliation equals forgiveness plus a variable of time. And no one in their right mind is going to assign a time variable to this thing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you have to kind of look at and listen for the symptoms. So this lady still needs to spend some time. They both need to spend some time in this reconciliation.
Right. Now, Mom, how would you encourage and help this wife who's having a hard time trusting?
Well, a couple of things. I like that Joe mentioned gathering friends around. Mm-hmm. And it just gave me a thought, you know, when we have our weddings, the purpose of having people at our wedding is to be there to say, I'm going to support you. I support you in this marriage. And those are part, that's part of the responsibility of the attendants, you know, to say, I'm here with you. And so I kind of like that idea of, you know, tapping into those people that were part of your wedding party that and your family that mm-hmm. should be beside you to help you to get through this, not someone who's just going to bash the husband or, you know, or if in a different situation, bash the wife. We need to be supportive, not destructive in that relationship. So, so a couple of things that came to my mind. The first one is that trust is gained by repeated right actions of the party that made the offense. So in this case, the husband has to continue to have right actions, honest actions that support his wife's mistrust. So as he proves that he's trustworthy, she should then, you know, understand and respect that and come to trust him more. However, one thing that I notice a lot of times, in this case, say the wife, sometimes they have the bar set at a certain place, maybe through counseling or through their own decision of this is when you need to call me, this is what you need to do. But then sometimes the wife keeps raising the bar higher and higher to where the husband's never going to attain the trust factor back with the wife because the bar keeps changing. So they need, I love the idea that they've had counseling. The fact that she said we've had counseling makes me wonder if they're finished with it. And I would say, should they need to continue counseling until they have, you know, a real solid foundation of trust, you know, for each other. And also, it's not just an issue of physical trust, but it's that emotional trust. So, you know, if he says, I'll be home from work at 6 o'clock and he's not home till 6:30 or 7 or he doesn't call, those are the little kinds of things that build trust. So it's checking in, making sure that the wife understands that he's not somewhere else that he shouldn't be. So I think that's important. And then, you know, is counseling 10 years long or 5 years long? It doesn't really matter. How long does it take to rebuild this relationship? And I think each one will be different.
All right, it's 7:22. We're with Joe and Cindy Farini. We're going to continue this conversation in just a minute and dig in a little bit deeper about the length of counseling they would recommend for this kind of situation. We'll get to that after this.
Thank you for supporting Moody Radio Cleveland and our thanks today to Naylor Neutral Lawn and Landscaping, providing lawn care and weed control for Moody Radio Cleveland over the past 9 years. Naylor offers landscape design and installation, lawn care and pest control programs, and tree and shrub sprays. For more information, call 330-650-4251 or visit nllawn.com. More information can also be found at moodyradiocleveland.fm.
Hi, this is Bible League International, sponsor of Moody Radio. You know, not a week goes by that we aren't hearing about assaults on people because of their faith. Here in America, we face ridicule or indifference for following Christ, but elsewhere in the world, Christians face arrest and even death if they refuse to renounce Him. In Bangladesh, where the population is 90% Muslim, believers like Burba need the strength that comes only from God's Word. Burba came to Christ after a pastor, trained by Bible League International, shared the gospel with him using a Project Philip Bible study. Now, Burba is determined to tell others about Jesus in this dangerous part of the world. Bibles are scarce in places like Bangladesh, and that's why we're partnering with Moody Radio to send God's Word to the world. $5 sends a Bible, $500 sends 100, and a limited-time match will double your gift. Call 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or give at moodyradio.org.
Here's a message from Dr. Julie Slattery and Authentic Intimacy.
Well, you can't really love others until you learn to love yourself. I've heard this sentiment hundreds of times in songs, poems, on bumper stickers, and even in the church. Some Christians cite Jesus' commandment to love others as you love yourself as a biblical mandate that we should learn to love ourselves. In fact, I believe this American rendition of Jesus' teaching is a dangerous endorsement of the Christian self-esteem movement. What Jesus was really saying is, you already love yourself, so love others with that same commitment you have to your own happiness, comfort, and welfare. There are other places in the New Testament where we see self-love as a great obstacle to loving God and others. Take, for example, Paul's warning to Timothy of what people will be like in the last days. Lovers of self, boastful, proud, and without love for God and others. Self-love has many forms of expression. Some people are obsessed with their looks and achievements, but others are self-absorbed in their insecurity. In both of these situations, our hearts are still preoccupied with me, unable to extend unselfish love or live a life to the glory of God alone. Jesus is teaching for us to deny ourselves and take up our cross is not just for the successful, arrogant Christian, but also for the downtrodden who desperately longs to prove her value. Self-love will never equip you to love another person. Instead, God asks you to trust in His great love for you. Our problem is not that we love ourselves too little, but that we don't trust God's love to be sufficient. Let's pray as Paul prayed that we would be deeply rooted and established in God's love, having the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
Just a thought from AuthenticIntimacy.com.
Bringing a fresh dose of biblical conversation and fun to Cleveland, it's Brian and Kathleen in the Morning, weekdays on Moody Radio in Cleveland.
7:26, our guests with us, Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. Someone wrote to them saying that their husband was unfaithful and they're having a hard time rebuilding trust. This week, part one of that conversation. And to either of you, what do you say about length of counseling? I mean, many people would wonder, is there a set length? What do you recommend about how long that should be?
Well, as I alluded to a few minutes ago, just, you know, whatever it takes to get to that point where you're trusting one another and you feel that the marriage has been rebuilt and is stable, I think that's going to be important. So, you know, it may be a short length of time, it may be a long length of time, but we tend to see that it's longer rather than shorter. Let me just kind of interrupt myself here, too, and say that anybody listening, next week we want to talk for part two about the rebuilding process. So if you have people who are in this situation, maybe share with your friends so that they can listen next week. But I want to just share a quick example. We had one couple in particular that they came to us. We're not counselors, but they came to us as a mentor couple. And, you know, we suggested counseling for them. They couldn't really afford counseling. So we felt like we could take them to a certain place. And then they would either have to get counseling or find someone who was an expert in doing this rather than someone like us who would be a mentor. But anyway, it came to a point where Joe and I were able to really figure out between the two of them what their basic bottom line base issues were. And what happened was at that point, there was a really like a great reconciliation together, like a really big sort of a like an aha moment, like we figured this out. And then what happened was they felt like they were done, you know, like we figured it out, we're done. But you know what? People don't just figure it out and then they're done. Now they have to work on it. They have to do the hard work. And so what happened with this couple was they just felt like, oh, we figured out what the problem is. So they didn't want really to keep coming back to us. But then what happened was they did the same thing with about five or six other couples when they'd come into their marriage issues. So they'd go to couple B and couple C and couple D, and they'd have to go through the same routine of what we went through to figure out what their issues were. And everybody figured out it was the same issues. But without someone to help them learn what to do in the midst of these issues to get them to a point of health, I don't think there's going to be a great reconciliation in that relationship. And so I feel like counseling probably is very necessary, and I just would highly recommend it. And I think Joe has a comment too.
Yeah, actually, there's a great book that we want to encourage folks who are going through this at this time. And it's actually written by, it's a Moody Publishers book, and it's called Torn Asunder, Torn Asunder, subtitled Recovering from Extramarital Affairs. It's written by David Carter, and I think his last name is Janaki. But it's by Moody Publishers, so you can go on their Moody website and find this book. But this book is one of the best books out there in dealing with this topic of, you know, how do you work through the pain and the agony of trying to rebuild trust and reestablish intimacy that was crushed by the infidelity. So I would encourage your listeners, if this applies, to get that book or be a friend and give it to somebody else who's going through this process right now.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us this morning, Mom and Dad. I posted on our Facebook page, the Brian and Kathleen Facebook page, the ways to connect with you. So if you're listening and you want to connect with Joe and Cindy Farini, you can just head over to brianandkathleen.org and click the link right there. So thanks so much. We look forward to talking with you next week.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thanks
so much. Have a good day. Bye.